Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I just want to say that we are in a real dogfight down here, and I believe me, we're not taking any prisoners. I tell you, this thing is getting so dramatic, and I think the people are beginning to understand that we are fighting for our lives here, and I'm hoping that the people will get hip and understand exactly what is going on. But I'm here to tell you, we have a bigger problem. The American legal abuse system is under its military invasion and the war on terrorism. Matter of fact, the biggest terrorists there is in this country are the judges, the prosecutor, and the court-appointed attorneys. These USA violations, not only of international laws, are consistent with the corruption in American home legal system. Without its own border, had partly evolved from the American legal abuse against its own use and residents and citizens. American prisons are often horrible, with lots of torment of prisoners, like you would expect in some petty dictatorship. Conditions are brutal in the United States jail. Rapes and are beaten constantly. There is little help for the abused inmates. In addition to many official United States execution, numerous people are also illegally jailed and killed in jail cells, mysteriously said to have hung themselves or found themselves stabbed to death. The scandal of the United States prison system is out of control. But I'm here to tell you, there are things that we can do. First of all, we must learn to stand together. We must allow people to understand that where we're going and what we need to do in order to make this thing a reality. But I'm happy to tell you today that you have someone here who's willing to take a stand, who's willing to fight for what is right. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. And I'm going to bring on my first guest. Mr. Nick Jones. Mr. Nick Jones is in the process of producing a movie, one of the first movies in the United States that actually was made by someone close to the city of Benton Harbor. Nick Jones, are you there?
Yes, sir, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
I'm great again. Nick, I want to tell you, I truly enjoyed you last night, and you also received a award from the NAACP. Can you tell my audience exactly what you received?
Yes, sir. My wife and I enjoyed ourselves immensely, Reverend, and before we left, now I want the public to hear this, before we left, we asked the young lady who organized the event to put us on the list for next year.
Amen.
So that's two tickets that's already gone.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Yes,
but I tell you, just having you there was something special. But you know what's more important than anything else? We're showing people now that we're capable of doing things. You know, so many times people think that we're here, especially as African-Americans or blacks or whatever you want to be called or stuff like that. But what we're doing, we're turning this thing into a whole new dimension here. And we're standing up for the people. And to me, there's nothing more important in this whole wide world than standing up for what is right. And I tell you, Nick, when I first heard about you, and also inside the souvenir book, there has a couple of articles, something about you in there that was pretty interesting. And I got all bubbly eyes after reading some of the stuff that was included in there. And I said, wow, that Nick Jones, he's somebody special. And
well,
we should
you.
Know
thank
this.
You.
Yes, absolutely. But we want people to know about you. We want people to understand that, you know, that we're serious. Too many times they think that, you know, just because we're African Americans, we don't know how to do nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
I think the thing that impressed me was the, you know, through your vision, The award that I received was the first NAACP Western Heritage Image Award.
Mm-hmm.
And people will say, well, what does Cowboys have to do with 2011? It has everything to do, because the images that are shown in Hollywood Westerns, whether it was 1910 or 2011, are the same negative images that judges, prosecutors, and attorneys have when they walk into a courtroom. So when a black man comes into a courtroom, he's guilty till proven innocent. And if people don't understand that, then, you know, they're living on another planet. Let me explain a little further. You had a Freedom Fund dinner that included everybody. Now, I want the public to hear this. It included everybody. There were whites there who were speaking wonderfully, singing wonderfully, being a part of the overall community as one, with us as minorities. However, it was more important to the area television stations and the South Bend Tribune to cover Notre Dame's blasting of Air Force than this event. Why is that? I'm an ex-football player, okay? I love football, but I also understand that there are things in this world that are much more important. Freedom is more important than winning by 25 or 30 points. However, that's the society in which we live. So they'll give coverage to a game because people are making money off of it, which don't mean we're making money off of it. We may be participants, but we're not making the money off of it that the European community is making. So that was one thing that I thought came out of our event. Well, you know, we like to get there, but, you know, we got to cover this game. Well, I think as the minister pointed out, it's whenever it's something in his speech, whenever there's something about us me, being black folks, you know, we're always second to last on the list. Now, every Western I've done, and this is the third, is about a black man. Why black men? Because if you take the man out of the household, what you have is chaos. So they don't want to see that because, you know, all of these men were strong. I think it's great that they have a monument to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, all right? But hear me. If it wasn't for people like Bass Reeves, Walter Jackson, and John Scoble, there never would have been a Martin Luther King. And see, that's what the history book is not telling you. You open up a history book and you think, well, you know, black folks, they came here and all they was slaves. Then they had Martin Luther King and now they all on welfare. Because, you know, I mean, how do you have an educational system that teaches not just black people that, white people, but the world that? So whenever a black man goes anywhere in the world, you know, people look at him funny. Well, of course they're going to look at you funny because they're looking at the images that they've seen, and none of those images are supportive. So I don't have to kill you with a gun. I can just destroy your image.
Absolutely, and that's what they do. Nick, you know, you said something that was so, so important, and I want my listeners to know this. I know we have a tremendous amount of listeners. I know we are the number two show here on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to say this to everybody. You said something that was so, so important. Anything that we do, when I'm saying we, I'm referring to black folks, African-Americans, whatever you want to be called, anytime that we're doing something positive, they do not want the world to know. They would do anything, even your movie, which I consider to be very, very positive. They won't come. This one guy is going to write about you. He did call me earlier today, but I didn't have all the information for him. He's going to call me back. But the thing is, anything that we do that's positive in our community, they will never, never, never cover it. They don't want it unless it's something that Whirlpool is putting out. And they never, ever do anything that's positive concerning our community. But the problem is, we allow them to get away with it.
That's it. That's it.
You know? And who would have thought, look, I love this, A Spy Not Like Us, a cowboy movie.
There you go. And I think what's missing is, unless we're doing something to entertain them, do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
To entertain
mm-hmm.
them and make them feel good, they don't want to have nothing to do with it. See, because this man was nobody's boy. Well, they don't want to see nothing like that. See, because the presumption is that we were cowards under slavery. You had some of the strongest, bravest, heroic black men the world has ever seen during that time period and after. But, you know, most people say, I ain't never heard of this guy. Of course you ain't ever heard of him because you don't know the history of this country. Now,
you don't
tell me that you believe in a God that you can't see and you won't accept a man that you can reach out and touch. I have a hard time going with that. Okay, I have a hard time going with that because I'm providing you with facts and a picture, and you going on something that was written 2,000 years ago. And folks, I'm a Christian. I am a Catholic Christian. Okay, so I am a believer, but I'm using that as an example. You gonna tell me you believe something written 2,000 years ago about a guy that you didn't see, and he didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes? Okay, now I can tell you that much. He did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. He had a wide nose and nappy hair, all right? Now, you can believe that if you want to, but when you leave here, like I'm going to have to leave here, don't be expecting to see Tom Cruise or somebody like that, because that ain't going to be the deal. So you may, if you're that disappointed, then go another direction. You know, go see, go say, hey, send me down there to that other guy. You know, and there'll be some people who will be racist to the point that they want to do that.
Wow.
But that's them. Now, we as a nation call ourselves Christian. Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in this country. And if you
go to
a church where everybody in there looks just like you, you ain't doing something right. Amen. And I ain't a preacher, but I can tell you that much. If everybody in that church looks just like you, you are not doing something right. And when you say the doors of the church is open, you need to add it, the door of the church is open only to white folks or black folks or Latinos or whatever. The doors of the church means anybody who wants to enter in. Okay? So there it is. But we take
let me say this before I bring on Ralph. I want to say this. Now, what's it, Scobell? Is that how you pronounce
John Scobell.
His name?
John Scobell. Right.
He was recruited by the Union Army.
Right.
Major Alan Pinkerton.
Correct.
The chief of the United States Secret Service.
Correct.
In your movie, John becomes a hero. Is that correct?
Yes, he becomes a hero because of the risk that he was willing to take, and he took a mission and stayed with it until it was successful. Now, he does go down there with a white agent, but the white agent gets discovered and hung. So in order for the mission to be complete, Scobell has to play his part. Now, they were friends, so of course he was ready to trade bullets with him. But if he had at that point, then the mission would have been lost.
Wow.
And I read here recently in the Time, New York Times or something, about the first black Secret Service agent retired. Well, he wasn't the first. He was the second, because Scobell was the first. Right. And he retired in 1861. Again, that's a miscarriage of justice because we don't know history. I'm going to say this before you bring on your second guest real quick. How can you have a teacher up there teaching history and they don't know it themselves?
That's right. And here's another thing people don't know. They don't teach black history no more in the schools.
Yeah.
So we'll never hear about John Scobell. We're not going to hear about him.
Nope.
Wow. That is really amazing, Nick Jones. I tell you, the research you have done is so tremendous. And I know my wife was asking, she said, well, who is this Nick Jones. I say he's a guy. He's doing something so incredible that, you know, I almost have to stand up for him and say,
yeah,
hey, let's take
that.
This thing to another level. Let's do the things that we need to do. Because, you know, here's another thing, too, that I like about you, Nick. We're not going out asking that white man to give us a job.
No.
What we're doing now, we're starting to do the things that I've been talking about for years. Let's start creating jobs.
There
and what
you're
doing with this movie, you're creating jobs for black folks.
That's it.
You know, and they, you know, and you know they're not going to like that.
No.
They're going to do everything in their power to stop you. But we are in full support of you. Listen, you got about 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes to say whatever your heart desires.
Well,
and I got to bring on Ralph because I know
okay.
I know Ralph is ready. He's ready to go because I didn't get him last week, but I got him this week.
Well, I just want to say it was a wonderful evening. I thank the good Lord for your recognizing my work. And Mrs. Jones and I will be back there in full dress next year. You have my number, email, cell phone. If something comes up and you need my help to do something, I'm here for you. And thank you for calling me and having me on the program.
Hey, it's my pleasure. But here's something you can do for me.
Okay.
It's not until 2005, the weekend of May 25th, they're going to have the PGA here.
Okay.
And what I want to do, I want to have as many people as they have here. And I want to make sure they understand that we are serious about what we're doing. We're going to have a peaceful demonstration. That's what it's going to be. Nonviolent. And we're going to have a peaceful demonstration, and we're going to have speakers. And I'm hoping it could be a two-day event, but if I can get me one day, I'm more than happy.
Okay, you let
so
me
look,
know, and we'll be there.
Okay, well, I'm going to put your name down, but don't hang up yet. I'm going to bring on my dear friend, my colleague, a man who I love, Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, are you there? Ralph Pointer. Don't tell me I lost you already, Ralph. I couldn't do that. Well, look, Nick, look like you may be able to stay on a little while longer since Ralph. I don't know what happened to Ralph. Yeah. So let me see. Can I bring in Ralph? Hey, I see a problem. Okay, let me go here. Hold on there.
Okay.
Bring your own blender. You can talk for a few minutes. It's probably not.
You need to sit down here.
No. Anyway, Mr. Jones, I think you may have a few minutes to do whatever your heart desires. Cause right now we're in the midst of having a technical problem. So I guess now you're going to get a chance to talk as long as your heart desires. So,
okay.
Look, go right ahead. Speak up.
Okay. One of the things that I do is conduct a seminar called The History of the Hollywood Western, But Why Were Black Men Left Out? And the answer to that is obvious. They were left out on purpose. And during the seminar, what I use are TV and movie clips as well as historic photographs to show that blacks have always been a part of development of the American West. Why? Because the development of the American West led to the greatest growth that the modern world has ever witnessed, leading to the Industrial Revolution. Therefore, to be left out of that picture implies that, A, we weren't intelligent enough, or even worse, B, we didn't really care. None of the above are true. Therefore, we should be included in the history book along with others who made great accomplishments, and there's no excuse for us not to. Now, if you say, well, I didn't know, you know now. and there you have the opportunity to correct that. So I'm available to talk to businesses, churches, colleges, you know, school corporations. And I say, you know, it's impossible for you to teach something that you do not know. Does that make me the end-all, be-all on Black history? No, nowhere near. But I do know some things, and these few things that I do know, I'm willing to share with others, and perhaps collectively we can fill in those blanks that are missing so that we get a complete picture.
Mm.
Until we do, I don't think we're ever going to have racial peace in this country, because it's hard for, again, going back to last night, the minister mentioned that the Reverend Martin Luther King said the guy who was the biggest problem wasn't a bigot with the whip. It was the liberal white moderate, okay?
Yeah.
Because he wanted us to be in a position where he could help us. And see, there's nothing worse than turning to somebody and your role has always been you thought to help me. And I said, well, I don't need your help. You know, I can do this. You know, what I need for you to do is to get out of my way so that I can do this. And so that creates another issue for us in the problems that we have with understanding and coming together as a nation.
Mm.
If you look at the industry, the biggest industry we have going now is the prison system.
Yes.
Okay. You have a black population of, 12, 13 million people, but they compose over 50% of the prison.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that.
Why is that? Okay. All of that is, you know, you've gone from a plantation system where we used to pick cotton to being the product in the prison system. Okay? So, you know, prisons have to have prisoners, and we are the product.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, it's sad to say that you know, on the traditional outlets, Tom Joyner, Doug Banks, they're still dealing with things that either come out of Hollywood or don't mean nothing, you know.
And you said something real valuable there, because when you think about Tom Joyner and Doug Banks and stuff like that, you know, they're making big money in what they're doing. And you know, I always say this, we got so many African Americans, blacks, or whatever they want to be called, who actually want to be like them. And any time that you're around people who you want to be like, but you're not like them, and it creates a major problem, not only for themselves, but also for us.
True.
You know, here in the city of Benton Harbor, what we do, we got nothing but really sellouts here. And, you know, and Whirlpool know exactly what they're doing. They're doing the things that they have to do in order to make themselves satisfied by taking over the city of Benton Harbor. So
we're
moving this thing to a whole different level. And I tell you, I'm happy today. I mean, it's like something that you would never believe. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good, I tell you. And I see where everything is going. So we got to take this thing to a whole different level. There's no other way. But, you know, thinking about what happened last night, if that would have been a black pastor saying that, he would have really, 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 really been, I tell you, they probably would have rhubarbed him or something, if a black man said. But that's why it was so important for this young man to say what he said.
Yes,
you know,
he spoke
it
from
was
his heart.
So important because, and basically, it was devastating. I tell you, it was devastating what he said. What he said was so tremendous that even myself, I have to confess. I mean, I heard him say it once before, because he said people need to know. He said until they know exactly what's going on, they don't get it. He said
these people
don't get it. So
my thing is that we
got to work on getting this thing right. Until we get it right, it's going to continue just like this.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I think I'm disappointed in, and you know, I live about 45 minutes from Benton Harbor here in South Bend, is the fact that, you know, you build a golf course and you have some of the highest unemployment in the nation right there in the city of Benton Harbor. However, you build a golf course, you have the PGA coming in. How many black vendors are benefiting from the PGA there in Benton Harbor? How many blacks are going to be employed? I don't mean people picking up trash. I mean in viable positions, whether it's having the contestants live in a hotel or motel there that is operated by I hate to keep pumping my movie, but, you know, Spy Not Like Us.
No, pump that baby.
Black.
That's how you do that.
It's about a black man, and so they'd have to live in a hotel or motel run by people that don't look like them. Now, if Whirlpool really, really wanted to unify the community and show that they were there to do things for the community, then they would have said, listen, we need to sit down and talk to people in this community and say, look, this is what we want to do. We would like your help in doing that, okay? We need this, we need this, we need this. And how many of you are qualified to provide that for us? Okay, if they had 10, 15, 20 black businesses that stepped forward, then boom, there you got it. Then nothing would be said. They can get out there and play golf till Jesus get back if they want to, because they've been fair about it. But that wasn't the case. You know, that wasn't the case. So I don't think whether it's the citizens of Benton Harbor, the citizens of South Bend, Berrien Springs, Mishawaka, Elkhart, you know, they should all be up in arms about what's going on because it has a broader effect. And
think about this. Like you said, they sold this to the people on the intent. Now listen to this closely. On the intent that they was going to supply 2,000 jobs.
Okay.
And so anytime you sit around and talk about you're going to supply somebody with 2,000 jobs, you see, you got something there. You know what I'm saying? But look, what's even more important, the people fell for it. But look, on that note, I want you to hold on. I want to bring on Ralph. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I'm there, Reverend. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Ralph Pointer.
Okay,
how you doing?
Phone's going, trying to get in on the program. Listen, there was so much that you have said. There's so much that you have presented that is real, and the understanding that is necessary on the part of all people, not only our people, but all people. Because as a teacher, I was asked once 40 years ago to define American history. And my answer was, and is now, American history is composed of each new lie covering up for the past lie that was told. And the basic lie of this system was the lie of democracy, the lie that everybody was to be included. When it began with genocide of the indigenous people there and slavery, and I count slavery from 1619 when the first slaves were brought to this shore till 1965. And I used the date 1965 because that was the first federal laws against lynching. So we had states' rights up to 1965. They could lynch you legally or illegally, and it didn't matter. They got away with it. And even now that lynching is illegal, we're still getting lynched and legally and executed legally, and it's still a lynching. We have not achieved freedom. And when you say you're honoring somebody who's telling truth in the movies, that is so much because the American morality system is based on the American Western movie. And who's always the hero? The man with the fastest horse and the quickest draw fighting for justice, the American white cowboy. And I'm saying, when you say you're going to bust that myth, this is the most powerful negative propaganda machine in the world. And it was Hollywood, and it was anti-black. And we continue with not only that, we had an industry in America. Imagine this. There was a whole industry based on negative image of black people. We had kitchen utensils with negative images of black people. We had banks, little toy banks, negative image of black people. There has been not only the movie industry, but a total industry based on this negative image. And as you say, well, how can people, you know, how can we be considered on anything when we have never been considered as people? We had, as it was pointed out in the 60s, we had less rights traveling than a pig that was taken to slaughter. You know, they could take field workers and carry them in buses over longer distances in shorter periods of time than you could take a pig. Mm. You had to, you know, this is what America thinks of us. So when you start telling the truth about what Americans are and what the black contribution is to America, you know, you just, you know, I'm blown away. And
no.
Of course you have to continue doing that, and I so do look forward to seeing the movies that you are producing about the history, our history in this country. Yes, I'd like to be in on it, Reverend. I'd like to sponsor the showing of your movies. I'd like to see them, and we can do it ourselves. We don't need a movie theater to do it. We can gather people together, and we can raise funds in churches. Now, I said a mouthful here. I said I'm going to have to take that maybe in churches, because churches have been in the industry of promoting white superiority, as you have said so well. How do they promote white superiority? Because the images of who Jesus was. I'm talking about the Christian churches. Now, somebody said to me, well, Ralph, it doesn't matter the color of Christ. And I'm saying, well, I agree with you 100%, but I asked the question, why must he be projected as white?
Absolutely.
And, all right, they project him as white in the white churches. That's their prerogative. But how come we don't project him as black in the black churches? One of the successes of the Latino churches, if I'm allowed to use that word, is they project Jesus as a person of color.
Mm.
And I'm saying, so all of these contradictions we have never dealt with. And one of the things I criticize black Christians, excuse me, Reverend, black religion, is that we teach Christianity. We have your Southern Divinity Colleges teaching Christianity, but we don't have research institutions to find out about that Christianity. We just preach it.
Yep.
Everybody else has institutions working and to do geological digs to see what really happened, to analyze scrolls and transcripts, and to say, hey, was this really said? We have the Islamic religion that everything is in the original form, and you can translate from the original. We have no such thing. They change the Bible, they give us new editions, and we go right along listening. So
yeah,
my hat is off to all of you, Reverend Pinckney, right down front, that say, I'm going to bring truth, I'm going to bring reality to what America is. And as you said in the other statement you made, we must do things ourselves.
And Ralph, here's the thing that the message I'm trying to send out to especially to us. When I'm referring to us, I'm talking about the African Americans, if that's what you want to be called, black, or if you want, you know, whatever you want to be called. We got to start creating jobs for ourselves. I remember years ago, you know, we was always had some kind of job, some kind of business. Now what they're doing, even the banks, to get this movie really off the ground like we should, we're going to have to pull our resources together to help this young man get this thing rolling. Because I believe from the start that this is going to be something so incredible. And I tell you, Ralph, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. I want to talk about last night was such a tremendous Cynthia McKinney blew us away last night.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
She was awesome. And
yes,
was, you know,
I am so elated to hear that, because what is happening is they are going to pull the blindfold on our eyes real tight. I think it was Henry Highland Garnett who said, the job of slavery is not done until the eyes of their mind have been blinded, and slavery is a self-perpetuating institution. And I see that they're going to do this with Mr. Obama. And I'm saying, we have a challenger out there. We have Cynthia McKinney, who's a challenger. And those who were supposed to be on our side did not support Cynthia in her run for president. And those black people that we're supposed to join in hands and gather with did not support Cynthia. Their eyes of their minds have been blinded, and they have Mr. Obama out there today. Now, instead of black people being involved in anti-bank demonstrations and movements, in New York today, in Harlem and in Bed-Stuy, the traditional black communities, they had support Obama rallies. So, no, I am not going to be on their side. We need not go over the record of Mr. Obama, and one of the things that bothers me most is, not most, it bothers me tremendously, is the number of people who have been deported under Obama, far more than Bush. And we have Obama heading up privatization, and far better than Bush could ever have done it. And that's a negative for black people. We have Democratic Party, who was in charge, talking about the criminal document of the subprime loan, and at the same time, 65% to 70% of black or brown people who got the subprime loans are eligible for the regular loans. What did the Democratic Party and Obama do? We have a man who's president who said he didn't want to be tainted by the civil rights movement. And I say, wow, all we wanted to do was vote. And so our eyes have been blinded, and anybody who's out there taking the blindfold off so that we can see where we are and who we're dealing with, who is our enemy and who is our friend, is doing the number one job, tremendous service. And, Reverend, you are doing the number one job, trying to wake people up. And we have to get this movie streamed on a blog so people
absolutely
can see.
We got to do it. But, Ralph, you got about 2 minutes. Why don't you talk a little bit about Lynn, then I can bring on Mary.
All right. Lynn just had her 73rd birthday. She celebrated her 73rd birthday, if you can say celebrated, in Carswell Federal Medical Center. She is in jail for exposing the lie that is the question of terror. And she spoke of terror the same way your guest spoke of in the prisons, the same way that you spoke of over the years. People feared for their lives. People have gone to jail illegally. And then through Troy Davis gets executed. And then through Bill Clinton, we get the presumption of correctness on the part of the legal system of the states when trying to prosecute cases of racism. And since we have this lie, this nonsense of an assumption of correctness on the part of the state, it's been exposed just down in Texas, where 11 men since 2001 have been exonerated from DNA. What is the presumption of correctness? If the state did it, you have to assume a presumption of incorrectness, because they're still lynching us, you know, like legally, you know, in the courts. So, yes, Lynn Stewart celebrated her 73rd birthday. Why? Because she exposed. She was very big in exposing the nonsense of the so-called terror. When she said terror is coming from the American government, every one of these issues has an agent of America promoting the so-called terror that never could have happened. So if you get an opportunity, write to Lynn Stewart or look up lynnstewart.org on the website, and you will find her number is 53504-054, Federal Medical Facility at Carswell. And I won't give you the numbers. Look them up on your, everybody listening here has a web. So LYNNE Stewart, STEWART .org. Send her a letter of encouragement because she stood up and fought, you know, like Cynthia McKinney, for us, for the truth, just like your gentleman is in the film. Tell the truth. And they hate anybody who tells the truth. And we must not forget Manning, you know, like in prison for sending out the WikiLeaks and all of the people involved in bringing the truth under the gun here. And so you're right on time here. You know, no, no, no. We needed you a long time ago, but I'm sure glad you're here. Get these movies going, and we must work ourselves. And I will say that number one that we should get involved with, I am involved in getting food direct from the farm to the people. And the profits should go to the people involved in doing this. We must eat. And the only thing that black people should buy, because I'm on Mary's side, we should only buy food and shelter, nothing else.
That's it.
Shut this economy down. And when we do buy it, it should be from somebody of like mind. Let's forget color. They haven't forgotten it. They're killing us with color. But we must remember the people on our side are the people, not the false liberals, as well aided by your guests. Those are the people who understand economic, political, what our side is. Liberation.
Absolutely.
So,
all right, Ralph. I got to bring on Mary. Mary,
okay,
you there?
Thank you for the time.
You know you got it. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Reverend. Hello, our radio audience. Hello, Ralph and guests
today.
Mary.
Hi, Mary.
This is Mary Neal. I'm down here in Atlanta, and I do mean down in Georgia. I'm down here where they killed Troy Davis on the 21st of September. And this morning, my grandchildren and I made oatmeal cookies for Troy Davis's birthday. Troy Davis would have been, I think, 43 today. And so we made oatmeal cookies. And my grandson said, Mama, if Troy Davis, if poor Troy Davis had been here today, he really would have loved your oatmeal cookies. I think it's time that we teach our children so they don't have to learn like I did when they're 50. I didn't know until I was 50 where I was. And so I'm trying to teach my grandchildren early because in school every week, every day, they're learning to stand and salute the flag and say, we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, which is something that we can hope for, something we can fight for, something that we must work hard for, but it is far from being true. And so this is why we made oatmeal cookies today for Troy Davis, so that I could teach them that in America, a black man can be lynched, has been lynched because he was black, and because he stood in place of all the black men that they like to lynch. Whether or not they are guilty of any crime is irrelevant. The crime is to be black in America. That
Mary, can
crime.
I say something at this moment? And as our leader, one of our leaders and prophets, Queen Mother Moore, used to say, the most tragic time of the day is when they repeat that pledge, which is a lie, which our children, when they go to school, repeat that pledge, which is a lie that denigrates us. And this is one of the patterns of any people who want to oppress another people. They speak in the morning. They teach them to begin their day with a lie on their lips of the superiority of those who are oppressing them. And every black child knows there's no freedom and justice for all. And when we repeat that, they have just taken the first step in killing our spirit. But I'm sorry I took up your time. But thanks for mentioning that.
Go right ahead, Mary.
Yes, thank you, Ralph. And I'm very concerned about that. And the thing is that, yes, it's a lie, but it's also a dream. It's something that probably never will happen in this America, but it is something that we got to acknowledge has never happened, and we must keep working toward it. And that way, if we teach our children the truth, they will at least know, and they won't have to wait until they wake up one day and this government has done what they did to me, which was secretly arrested and murdered my brother, Larry Neal. You can look it up online. That's wrongful death of LarryNeal.com. Secretly arrested the man for 18 days, murdered him, and the United States Department of Justice, under this administration and the previous one, refuses to give us any records, any documentation, or any explanation as to why this man was secretly arrested and murdered. However, you take a man like Troy Davis, who was not even proven to be any type of criminal, and they murdered him. So what I did on the 21st of September, the day they murdered Troy Davis, is I filed an intent with the United States Department of Justice to sue the USA for Larry's murder and for our intimidation and ongoing terrorism and censorship regarding the lynching of my brother, Larry Neal. If they're going to kill Troy Davis for a murder that he did not do, or that they did not prove that he did, then certainly they need to be able to answer a simple question about Larry Neal's murder, which they did do. So this is the problem. The problem is there's no accountability, there's no respect for the truth, and as you say, the truth makes you an enemy around here. So I really appreciate Reverend Pinckney. I appreciate all that you do to try to shed light on the truth. I've been on Facebook today letting people know about the corporate takeover of Benton Harbor, because at this point, the nation is busy occupying Wall Street and symbolically occupying Wall Street throughout America. And they need to know that we already have one city that has been taken over by corporate interests. So I've been trying to shed light on that, Reverend.
Good. Hey, you know what? I love to hear that. And then, you know what? Every time you come on, I mean, you always have something to say that's really devastating. Who would believe in a modern-day time that there would be a city like Benton Harbor with a dictator? And I'm glad that you're spreading the word. That is so important. Cynthia McKinney was here last night. And I tell you, she was something last night. She put on a show. And I tell you, she went beyond the call of duty. But we're in what we call a real fight here. This is no conflict. This is a real deal. This is a war, Mary. And I tell you what,
I have
a
question for you, Reverend.
It has relevance for the whole country, because as you said, Reverend, 41,000 Michigan families are to be put off welfare under Bill Clinton's 5-year limit on the welfare program, and that 12,600 already did not get any income in October. So the thing is that Michigan has been more or less tossed to the dogs. The situation is that with that many people with no income, then you're not going to have that much commerce. So everybody is going to suffer. It's a trickling down effect. That's a real deal trickling down effect. These people have lost their income. You see, everything is about war. They want to spend the money on war. They want the jobs to go to prisons and overseas. The whole issue is flattening the U.S. economy. If you look that up, it's called flattening the U.S. economy. The corporations want to pay the same wages to Americans that they pay to Chinese, Africans, and Indians. That way, corporations will not have to worry about whether their company is located in America or in China or in India or in Africa, because no matter where they have their company, they will pay the same wages, which will not be a living wage. That's where this whole thing is going. That's what is the outcome, the expected outcome of globalization. So what we're really dealing with here in Benton Harbor and across America is a fight against globalization.
Wow, that is really
thank
tremendous.
Thank you, and I didn't believe they were going to do it, Reverend. You were telling us over and over that they were going to cut people off of welfare. That is so insane. That is so draconian. I didn't believe it was going to happen, and I didn't want to ask you, you know, like, what's happening, Reverend? I didn't want to do that. But here we are. Thank you, Mary. And let me add, Mary, that my children grew up, they did not salute the pledge when they went to school, because I knew the destructive power of that. And you don't have to do that. And, you know, and Reverend, you don't have to say the prayer either.
That's right.
And so I taught my kids, no. Our religion is truth. And anybody who brings truth is somebody we must revere and follow. So I am so glad to be a part of this program where truth is coming out constantly. And
Reverend Pinckney, I just wanted to let both the other guests know that I hadn't gone to sleep on them.
Okay.
What's interesting, Mary, I did email you regarding my signing of the petition for Troy Davis. I don't know if you got that email or not, but
I'll look for it. I get some of my emails and my telephone are both on the COINTELPRO. You can look up Mary Neal versus COINTELPRO.
Okay, go ahead. Nick, let Nick talk for a minute. Go ahead, Nick.
Okay. Yeah, I think the thing that's scary is if Michigan is successful in expunging a large number of minorities out of the system, believe me, other states will take the same approach.
Right on.
Of course.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Pinckney said on many occasions they trained many fiscal managers, and you only needed one for a Benton Harbor. So the rest of us are in trouble.
Absolutely. And you're talking about 400 EFM waiting to take over here in the state of Michigan. And I'm telling you this, you know, we have to get ourselves better prepared to do battle against these folks. These people are for real. What they're doing now, they just got the NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. They got it with Korea now.
Yes.
They also got it with Colombia, I believe. And,
yes.
One other country, I can't think
Mexico
of it right now.
Started off first.
Yeah. So what they're trying to do now, they're trying to outsource all the jobs out of the country of the United States. And here's the thing. These millionaires, billionaires, these CEOs, the top 1% is taking their money out of this country and hiding it in other countries and then forcing the United States to give them some kind of tax break to bring their money back. But yet and still, we are not talking about that. We're not talking about what they are doing. Until we get our thoughts together and come together and fight, because remember this, it's more of us than them. How could we ever forget that? It's
because
more
we have
of us than them.
Who are us, like Obama, working for them. And we have to make that distinction.
Wow. Hello? I tell you, this is amazing. But Ralph, you got about 3 minutes. You can say whatever your heart desires.
Well, one of the first things that we have to deal with is food supply, and they're doing it to us. So I'm involved in taking produce right directly from the farm to the black community, and I'm trying to get the black community to make the sales themselves, to sell to their neighbors. I'm selling quality food, non-chemical, natural, organic to the people, and we have to continue. And I think one of the big pushes that we can have is on this Christmas season to have our people in our communities take orders from trees and take a part of the profits. Cut out the middleman. We can move those Christmas trees from the farm fresh directly to the people, and the profits can be ours. We can move the food directly as a farmer's market, right, and have our own farmer's market and our own control of the farmers market, control the quality, and control the economy. It is here. We are going to be hungry. So we have to get in on this we're late. We have to get in on it and be able to supply our people with food. And profit by it. That's all I wanted to say is we're here. Remember our political people. Remember Cynthia McKinney. They put her out, and I would love to see that show. You know, I hope somebody was doing the video on it so that you can make that public and go in on Reverend Pinckney and his program. Over the listserv. We'll put that out there. I'm looking forward. I've heard of it so much that I want to see it for real.
Hey, there it is. Hey, you just said a whole mouthful. Hey, Nick, go ahead. You got a couple of minutes to say whatever you want to say.
Well,
I've
enjoyed talking, but I've enjoyed listening to Ralph and Mary more so than my talking. I think the thing that Ralph hit on is just, you know, that's just great. Selling, fresh produce in the black community, straight from the farm, which will cut out the Myers and Martins and you know other super chains like Walmart. That would begin to have an impact that would cause people to take a look at that's something they can't control. So I remember growing up years ago here in South Bend. My grandmother had a garden right across, and they owned two lots. They had a house on one and a garden on the other, and she'd just walk across the street and do her gardening. And so she grew her own beans, grapes, corn, and thank God the only time I have ever been in a hospital was for a football-related injury. So Ralph, I think that's a good idea. Like I said, Mary, I hope you find that email. And I'd like to thank Reverend Pinckney for having me on. And that's it for me.
Hey, well, that's beautiful. I don't think it could get any better than that. And I want to thank you for taking the time out and really showing black folks and white folks that we can do things. I'm looking forward to the movie. I'm looking forward to continue to work with you. And you and I, we're going to be connected. So on that note, I'm going to bring on Mary. And Mary, you go ahead. You got a couple of minutes to say whatever your heart desires. I don't care what you say, just say it.
All right. Thank you, Reverend. Thank you so much. And I just want to thank all of you who listen, all of you who spend time with us on Sundays. I tell you, it's just really a blessing that we have this opportunity to come together. I want to remind you that there's a Senate bill pending, Senate Bill 968, to cut this out. Now, Senate Bill 968 is to control the Internet. It is to place the Internet under the jurisdiction of the United States Justice Department. This week, Google was on trial, antitrust trial, before Congress. And the thing is that the Justice Department, the United States government, they recognize how important it is for us to have freedom of press. And they know that they cut it out already as far as mainstream news. So they are after the Internet. Make no mistake, they do not like Pinckney the Pinckney Show. They do not like Blog Talk Radio. They do not like my blog, Free Speak Blog. They do not like you to be able to express yourself or to tell any news that they haven't filtered. They don't want it, they don't like it, and they intend to end it. Please go online and check out Senate Bill 968. It was put forth by a Democrat, just as the concentration camp bill, which was H.R. 645 to be a sixth concentration camp in America for Americans, was also put forth by a black Democrat. So please don't be mistaken about who your friends are, like Reverend Pinckney says. Don't assume that everything black is cool. Don't assume that everything they call themselves Democrat is nice. It's not necessarily for your good, okay? Please understand that. So my name is Mary Neal. I'm the director and founder of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. That's Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. They started private prisons by disenfranchising mentally ill people, sending them out of hospitals so they could be homeless on the street long enough for them to do any kind of little crime, even vagrancy, and put them in prison. That's who makes up over half of the people in prison today. We got 2.5 million people in prison, and 1.25 million of them are mentally ill people. Please pray for the people who are in solitary confinement in California. They are freezing them now. They are turning the air conditioning on them because they won't eat. So now we have people who are starving and freezing because they want to get out of solitary. So please, keep in mind that such as you do unto one of the least of these, his brethren, you do also unto him. Therein is true religion. How you treat the least in society determines your religion.
Yes, well, very, very good.
Done it again, Reverend.
Hey, so
another
lasting
hope of learning.
Mm.
It's wonderful.
Hey, believe me, I understand. So you're still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I know you've run out of time.
You're still there. Both of y'all still there. Anyhow,
I'm here.
Look, we got about 30 seconds, but I just want to tell everybody we have to change the way we do business. We got to stop all this false stuff that we're doing. We got to stop trying to act like them. We got to start acting like ourselves. So what we're doing now is we're doing nothing but shooting our own self in the foot, then trying to run a marathon.
Exactly.
It won't work.
Exactly.
So now, here's the thing. I had a manifold last night. I was telling people, do not put the mask on the wrong face. And that's what we've been doing.
Okay.
We've been putting the mask on the wrong face. Now, it's time for us to take this thing to a whole different level. I'm telling you, if we don't change the way we do business, if we don't get out here and stop fighting among ourselves, they're going to destroy us. They're going to take everything we got and use it for their own good. But look, on that note, I'm sorry to tell y'all I enjoyed the show, but we have just ran out of time.
Right
we
on.
Have no more time.
All right, we'll talk to you, Ralph.
All
you
right.
Know.
Thank you, audience. Thank you, Reverend.
Call you,
all
Mary,
right,
over the weekend. Take care.